We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. And this time every week, Lisa Lanier, our official attorney. LanierLawGroup.com is her website. She's president there, or HireAHeavyweight.com. She joins us for Lawyer Up. Lisa, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Well, doing very well. Now, Chris Dim says you'll slap me around on this one, but I'm for this guy. There's a guy named Shane Waltrip who went to the movies at a Cinemark theater in Plano, Texas. And it's one of those theaters that will serve sandwiches and beer and cheesecake. And he got a beer. He got a 24-ounce beer. And when he kept the cup and took it home because something didn't seem right. He's drank a lot of beer. Okay?
This doesn't feel right.
Something was off. And when he got home, he filled it up with water and he did the test. And there was 22 ounces of water in that 24-ounce beer. And it would not hold any more than 22 ounces.
That was the limit.
That was filled to the brim. And he says, I didn't even get it all the way up to the brim. You know, it was a little bit short of that. He estimates he got about 20 to 21 ounces of beer in a 24-ounce cup. It's draft beer. And he says, I want a class action lawsuit against Cinemark because they're doing this all over the country.
Who's with me?
All right. And I'm with him. I'm with him because that's false advertising, false practices. And I'm just as with him as I am the person that's suing Burger King.
Objection.
All right. I won't bring up that case.
Move to strike.
That Lisa and I have quarreled over for years. We've had big time problems with this. I'm for this guy. Tell us about the pinhead in Plano, as Chris Dim calls him.
Oh, yes. Can you imagine the guy that carries the beer cup home to measure it? Just he needs to be shunned by the whole community.
I'm fighting for it. I'm sorry, but I am.
The unfortunate part for Cinemark, and I feel bad for Cinemark, even though they're a big company. You know, movie theaters are struggling, especially some of these, you know, that do all this food and whatever. Their sales are down. Ticket sales are down 25%. They charge a buck more. Mm-hmm. So there's a 20-ounce and a 24-ounce. Well, it turns out, you know, he's right. Apparently, the 24-ounce cup is actually a 22-ounce cup. He's paid another dollar for it. I mean,
but it's the principle. It's the principle.
It is. Well, so yeah. So I mean, but that's so he by the letter of the law, he's probably going to succeed if he can, you know, prove that they're selling at 2 ounces, they're shorting in 2 ounces over what they're advertising. You know, that violates federal and state laws with regard to, you know, being straightforward about the labeling and the sale of food like that. So, I mean, yeah, he has a claim. I mean, there's all kinds of consumer protection laws, both at the federal and state level, that he's using here.
Biggie has a point to make here.
I was going to say, if I was the judge, you know what I would reward this man?
What?
One sip of beer.
One.
Yeah.
Right in the courtroom, yeah. I would hand him a 2 ounce container
of beer
and say,
Here you go.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
One.
I have a question too about this, Lisa. Is it possible, unless Cinemark makes the cups, that they probably didn't test them? They probably ordered 24 ounce beer cups and 20 ounce beer cups. I'm blaming the Dixie manufacturer, whoever makes the cups.
Yeah. They may not have known, or certainly not have done it intentionally, but, I mean, they do have a duty to make sure that they're, you know, doing what they say they do.
They do, because they're saying it's 24 ounces. Buck stops at Cinemark.
I think they knew.
Yeah.
You do think they knew.
I think they knew, but they also thought, what kind of person
who
takes anything home from a theater?
I do.
This one here that wants to make hay.
Measure it out.
Other than the Dune popcorn buckets that people were trying to.
But yeah, they're sticking their junk.
Putting their sausage to it.
Trying to put their junk in the Dune popcorn bucket.
And then there's just the theater, that one theater in Plano itself, where they may have run out of the 24-ounce cups and said, just use those.
No, not according to that. He's done a lot of research, and it's every Cinemark in the country that sells
every
a 24. It is. He did the research on that.
Oh, he's kind of douchey.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's gunning for a class action, and then, you know, everybody will get a coupon for a sip of beer.
Did his research.
He did. He went online and called around to other theaters and said, how's your cup looking? Let me go take a cup. Send me one of your cups.
What a life.
I'd like a cup of beer. Hold the beer.
That's right.
I bet this guy's ex-wife, because clearly he's divorced, is probably like, if you would have put this much effort into our marriage.
That's right. Well, what he said was, you know, like Lisa said, their business is down 25%, but their concession sales are up 3%. Those profits are up, even though the people are, how? They're cheating you. They're giving you less beer and charging you more. I'm all over it. If I'd get on his jury, I'd vote for him.
He'd be your friend.
You know that. story about a car today, and it's someone who owns a Tesla. She is suing Tesla. She's pregnant, and in 2019, she had her 2-year-old child in a car. She was changing the child's diaper. The child was only 8.5 months old. She was changing the child's diaper, and at some point, the child was able to slip down into the floorboard of the car, put the car in gear, press the gas pedal while she fell out of the car, and run over her. Now, she was okay. She gave birth to the second child, but she's saying that there's negligence on Tesla's part, that any 8.5-month-old could be able to put a car in gear, drive it, basically, put hand on or foot on the gas pedal, and run over this woman. When I brought this up 2 weeks ago, this was joked at, laughed at, sneered at, saying, hey, lady, this is on you.
That's not how Teslas operate.
And Tesla usually is very difficult to put into gear. We had calls on it, too. Lisa, what do you think? Does she have a case?
So this case is being tried right now as we're talking, and I can't wait to see the outcome. It's a little bit different. So I read the article, Kelly, and so I'm gonna tell you.
Okay. Smack.
She was not in the car. No, I loved it. Love to read those articles you send me.
Objection.
She was not in the car.
Yes.
So imagine this lady. Mm. She comes home. She's been at her husband. Her husband's a chiropractor. She's been in his office. Mm-hmm. She comes home. She realizes, oh man, I left my house key back at his office. Uh-huh. And the kid's diaper has to be changed, but they're going to have to go back to the office. So she's like, okay, she was in her garage because the garage door was open. Mm-hmm. She was in her garage creating a makeshift changing area when the kid wandered off and got in the car. She had left her driver's door open.
Oh my.
The kid wandered away from her while she was setting up a changing station.
Yes.
And got in the car. The kid pressed the gas pedal, mm-hmm. the gear shift, and the steering wheel, touched all those things, and the car took off, I think 8 miles an hour. And, what her whole argument is, and she suffered terrible injuries. I mean, luckily, mm-hmm. she was pregnant. The baby did not have any injuries, but her pelvis was crushed.
Yeah.
So she had to give birth with a crushed pelvis.
Oh!
Which she said was excruciating.
Oh,
and multiple
Jesus.
Other fractures.
Jesus.
Anyway, so what happens is, she said there should not be a car that you can get in and start it like that without any kind of key or any kind of start switch.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't just be you get in it and randomly, accidentally press a bunch of things and it starts running. And that's a design flaw that they need to fix.
Yeah, certainly at 9 months old,
or
right?
Or something.
Yeah. So do you agree with her? Do you think that Tesla is on the hook here?
I mean, it is kind of scary that you can start that car without any kind of switch or key or anything. And I mean, I would think that would pose all sorts of problems for theft and accidents like this, you know, because kids get in cars and, you know, or kids, you're getting out and somebody accidentally touches something. I mean, you know, it's, but, you know, it's interesting. Tesla just settled within the last couple of weeks. They just settled that death claim for that Apple engineer who was killed when his car was on autopilot. And everybody was surprised that they settled it, but they're trying this one. So we'll see. I mean, it's in California. It happened in Santa Barbara. We'll just have to see how it comes out. I mean, it could be Tesla saying it's your fault you weren't watching your kid.
Yeah, negligence.
Like, you know.
I don't know, though. I think I'm siding with her. I mean, I don't think you should be able to start a car without, like you just said, I mean, if any kind of 8-month-old could start a car and then run over you with it, I think there's some problems there.
If you have an 8-month-old, you shouldn't leave your car door open.
Yeah, but people do.
Yeah, I know.
But that's their fault then.
I don't know about that.
And so to your point, you know, comparative negligence. So so what would happen would be if they said, you know, your damages are $1 million, but you were 10% at fault for leaving your car door open, then they're going to reduce that $1 million by 10%.
I'd be okay with that, but I think Tesla's at, you know, 60% at fault here.
I didn't think that's how those cars even operated, but
I've
never been in one.
It's shocking. I mean, you don't even have to key.
I thought you had to have your phone in it.
You'd think, wouldn't you think? Maybe.
I wonder if it was her proximity to it. Like if she would, you know, she was 20, 25 feet away or whatever, and the car picked up.
In the garage.
That's right. I could figure it out.
It's in the garage. That's right.